This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Do you say and do things when drinking that you regret the next day? Is alcohol a problem for you or someone you really care about? Over the next hour, we'll find out how people just like you and me found sobriety in AA through sharing their experience, strength and hope. Welcome to AA Live, brought to you by Alcoholics Anonymous.
Kia ora te whanau. Welcome to the AA Live radio show. It's great to have you out there with us this evening. This is a show that explores the ideas behind a way of recovery through the Alcoholics Anonymous program. Today we're going to talk a little bit about Christmas. Oh my gosh, frightening. What we can do to keep ourselves safe. There are work dues coming, corporate functions, family sessions, I'll call them. But, you know, for everybody it's a little bit different. But we have got alcohol coming up in our faces. Well, that's my experience of Christmas, and that's about all I could say. I'm a little bit mortified that Christmas is around the corner. It has arrived very fast. It's going a lot faster than I thought it would. I think it's my age. Anyway, I'd like to welcome my co-host, Sue. Sue, how are you?
Hello. Nice to be here.
It's fantastic. Lovely to see you.
Smiles on.
Yeah, she's got her smiles on, Pooh. What does Christmas conjure up for you? What do you think? Does it cause you a panic or do you just go with the flow?
It's a really good question. Kind of new to Dunedin and I don't tend to have Christmas with my family. And last Christmas I had it a completely, I guess, sober Christmas with people.
Was that your first sober Christmas in while?
No, I was with a really good, really great friend, still is a great friend, and we were with his family, but we were both sober together. So I didn't, luckily I didn't struggle. I had a bit of a plan around that. And it was during the day, so it wasn't like extending into the evening and that type of thing.
That's sort of what
that
I wanted to.
That was more
to
the Christmas dinner aspect. I guess in my early sobriety, I was really careful, you know, just each day, sort of keeping safe. I was definitely smashing the meetings and those types of things, and that was really good.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about a few of those things today. We're going to get those out there. But, yeah, I don't know. For me, Christmas causes me a little bit of stress. It's catching up with family, it's money, it's work, it's juggling work.
Right, of course.
Because I work for myself, if I don't work, I don't get paid. So there's all sorts of extra fun things in it for me. And I have to make sure that I keep myself safe. Anyway, a little bit about Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a fellowship. It's a fellowship of alcoholics in recovery, and we help each other through our sobriety journeys. This involves going to meetings, getting ourselves a sponsor, working a 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous. The end result for me and these simple guidelines of recovery have been huge, and I'm living a life that I can actually manage. And weirdly, when I was drinking, I thought I was in control of everything, but it turned out I really wasn't. I was just a duck on the water with my legs going nuts. I've got so many tools in my toolkit to manage living life. I have a community of people around me now. When I was drinking alone by the end. There wasn't people around me. I've got healthy relationships with family, friends, my partner, all those sorts of things. It's great. I've got a sense of belonging. I've got self-esteem back. That's huge. One of the big things for me going through the 12-step program was removing that shame that I carried from things that I did. So that was amazing. But also the understanding of the disease of alcoholism, which I've got. What about Sue? What have you discovered and gained in your recovery to date?
Oh,
it's a big question.
Yeah, no, it's a good open-ended question as well. And I liked how you said in that list, if you like, and what an elaborate list. It was the community of people.
Yeah.
I think that's a big gain from being sober and being on a daily basis. I think the biggest thing I'm really noticing at the moment is the ability to show up.
Yeah, nice.
It's just really simple and be really present, and to learning how to be so much better at things like planning, like all this kind of chaos or running over yourself the whole time. It's just much more even. And I think that, so you, I'm sure people do know that, you know, when you're in the midst of alcoholism or in these types of illnesses, you know, your levels of anxiety just go through the roof. And so you medicate, and you medicate by usually, you know, drinking and those types of things. And it just becomes this never-ending loop, which can just get smaller and smaller. So, yeah, I'd put it on the high up as the community, you know, extending out all of that focus and generosity that you now sort of can see and also respond to, I think. I think that's really exciting, yeah.
Yeah, nice. I like the loop that you described, because that is exactly how it was. There was that self-medicating and get up in the morning and start again and do the same thing every day, the loop of drinking or, you know, doing whatever it was you were taking to self-medicate. I don't know about you, but I was actually on a lot of medication as well. And, of course, it didn't work.
No.
So when I actually stopped drinking and things started actually working, that made a huge difference too.
And it takes time though too, doesn't it? And really managed advice and assistance to do those types of things.
Yeah, that's where that community comes in, isn't it? I don't know. For me, the community that I've got and within AA and within my work and that has built up with my activities and so forth since my sobriety has enriched my life. It's really just made everything so much better and healthier and kinder. When people are around me now, I know that they're around me because they want to be, rather than it's party Jan or, you know, any of that sort of stuff. It's, they're there, genuine. It's a genuine thing. So I enjoy that side of things.
Yeah, being bright and bushy-tailed.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to throw it over to you today to talk about our preamble and all those fun things.
Yeah, let's
do that. Fire away.
Okay, so I will now read the preamble, which is always read at each meeting, which is, I have the pleasure of reading this every Saturday morning, but I'll do this right now. Here we go. So the preamble goes, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking.
Well, there is actually normally a little bit extra on that, and I've stopped at the stop drinking, but that's okay. We know what it's all about. That's pretty
the purpose,
clear statement.
You might know it off by heart.
No, I haven't, no. Fire on with the next thing, so go for it.
So we offer opinions that are just that, our opinions, and not necessarily that of AA as a whole. And each day we have a daily reflection that we read. And here is today for November the 12th, titled Morning Thoughts. And it starts like this. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. And that's from Alcoholics Anonymous, page 164. For many years, I pondered over God's will for me, believing that perhaps a great destiny had been ordained for my life. After all, having been born into a specific faith, hadn't I been told early on that I was chosen? It finally occurred to me, as I considered the above passage, that God's will for me was simply that I practiced step 12 on a daily basis. Furthermore, I realized I should do this to the best of my ability. I soon learned that the practice helps me in keeping my life in the context of the day at hand.
Whoa.
Quite a lot in that.
there is. We could pick that apart. But tell me, what do you see in that? I'm just going to squiz up the 12th step, actually. So,
oh, that's a good idea. Well, it kind of, for me, it's also, it's obviously the 12th step, so it's not necessarily the final step because you keep circulating through them, from what I understand, and you constantly go back to step 10 most days. I definitely go back to step 3 most mornings, you know, it's and step 1, I mean, they're all just sort of, it's like a good cake, isn't it? Lots of layers to it.
So, oh, there are so many layers. I don't know. I think I'm on a 12-layered cake for sure.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I love chocolate the best.
Yeah. Chocolate. Okay, then let's get back to the we're a bit rambly, aren't we, Jan? That's never mind. But I soon, and it says the final line again, I soon learned that the practice helps me in keeping my life in the context of the day at hand. And that's still, it's really true. It's about helping another alcoholic or not necessarily reaching out and trying to recruit. This is the last thing that we're doing in the AA program. But it's definitely like it's even small things like I was trying to text you just before, Jan, and I looked at all the phone numbers that have been texted in the last couple of days, and of about 10 people, 6 or 7 were from the community, from our AA group, wishing you a good day, these kind of things, you know, of course talking about some political decisions that have been made recently, shouldn't really go into those, but it was like really fun getting advice, talking to other people, talking to other friends from AA, and it's and that's independent of my relationships in the meetings, and it's independent in a way, or all looped in, like, again there's that word looped, but it's back in with talking to my sponsor or meeting with my sponsor as well.
Yeah, well that's the thing, isn't it? We meet different people and we create, I don't know, I've always found relationships are something you either get strength from them. Well, actually when I was drinking, not a lot of my relationships gave me strength. I've discovered through my sobriety. There are some, obviously, but there were ones that were just dragging and pulling and wanting and taking. So I find that's one of the revelations and things that I enjoy most about sobriety is that those relationships that I have now and have built in the meetings and with those people from the meetings, out of the meetings in my day-to-day life, they've got substance to them.
Right.
And they've got kindness and love and caring in them and genuinely people checking on me and genuinely I'm checking on others. And there's that, yeah, like you say, that loop again. But, yeah. Hey, we were looking up practice step 12, which I'm just going to read out, was having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And that is so true. Like, I don't know, you said before, you go back to 10, 11 and 12, we do on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 3, yes, we hand over our will and go for it. So, yeah, they're not things that you go through. But did you realise they were lined up with months, didn't you?
Yeah, so I picked up on that in, like, I guess March and then April. I'm like, oh, I better get a bit of speed up. I've got to match the month. But it didn't pan out that way. But
you don't have to. Your actions don't have to.
It's not like a steeplechase where you've got to jump over each hurdle and get to Christmas and you're done.
No, gosh, no. We'll be doing these many times over in our lives, and that's the wonderful part about those steps. The first time always seems so frightening going through them all because it's the great unknown, isn't it? Like anything. And the first time we go through quite a lot. But I found through my time that my mind has remembered things as time's gone on.
And do you mean like visually or like?
No, I remembered things that have happened, things that I've done, things that need to be on my step lists, on my step fours and fives, and making my amends to people. And yeah, because they haven't been fresh in my mind yet. As my mind recovers, it's remembering things. It's very, very bizarre. But something may happen and I think, oh my gosh, I remember something about that. And then I'll realise, oh, I've got to make an amends to that person. That was really poor form on my side.
Yeah.
And that hasn't stopped. Mm. So, yeah, people do think that they'll only do it once, but it is best to do it. I mean, you do it with your sponsees as well. Once you become a sponsor, then you end up looking back and talking about your own journey with them too.
Yes, yeah, I can imagine that. I'm not in that position yet, but I can appreciate. Yeah, that's what I've understood.
Yeah,
definitely.
So it's quite bizarre.
Yeah.
But yes, this reading that we've had, and my morning meditation. What can you do each day for the man who is still sick? And that is getting that message out there. And it's not that we say, oh, I must go and stand on the street corner and yell Alcoholics Anonymous. It's generally when someone comes to me that I will share my story or talk about what I do rather than say, this is what you should be doing and you should do that and you should do that. And it's more, look, I went to this many meetings when I started and this is how many I built up to and this is what I do now. Because really it's about sharing your own journey for them to take what they need from it and progress however they need to. Because one of the things I have heard really quite clearly in the rooms is it is your journey. We're not all the same.
Mm.
And we didn't drink all the same.
Definitely not.
The thing that's the same is that we're alcoholics. So how we practice, it's not perfection. And that's one of the things that I have used as a crutch many a time in my recovery. That, yeah, practice, not perfection. You know, you've just got to do it with how it works for you. And not everybody can do it as fast. Some people do it really quickly. Some people do 90 days and 90 meetings in 90 days. Other people just can't do that. So it's really a wonderful program in the sense that it will work around you and what's happening for you.
Yeah.
That's what I find anyway. What about you?
No, everything you've just said makes a lot of sense. And and also now, you know, when you're in a meeting and you have new people come in and, you know, they're checking out what's happening, you know, they're trying to work out, you know, am I an alcoholic? Am I as bad as these stories or am I just going through a bit of a burn at the moment, you know? Is my relationship collapsed? Have I crashed the car? Why have I got no money? These types of things. Maybe I have got a problem. You know, that's extreme stuff. But
no, it's not extreme.
It's always so moving. You know, when people, if their first couple of meetings are there, and there's usually a look of complete sadness. And of course, terror, because they're like, what is happening here, you know? But then some people do keep coming back and, you know, they get support or they start to take phone numbers. And, you know, there's a lot of ways of staying there. It does have to come from yourself. Yeah.
One of the things, listeners, that we do. When a new person comes into a meeting, we start sharing on step one, which is our lives have become unmanageable, and we talk about our stories quite openly and honestly, and we relay what's happened to ourselves and our experience, our strength. We try and give out hope. And
what is it like now?
We tell them to look for the similarities, not the differences. And that's generally, that's one of the ways of us. You would be surprised. Some of you listeners might be questioning what you're doing in life with your drinking. when I first went into when I went to my first meeting, I went in there having a tiny inclination that I was an alcoholic because I had been told I was, 25 years previously, but I'd walked out of that space saying, nah, I can manage this. And I still thought I was managing it. I still hadn't given myself that label of alcoholic. So when I went to the meeting, my first one, and heard these stories, listened for the similarities, for me personally, it was a huge relief to give it a name, because I thought I was going crazy, because every day I was waking up going, I do not want to drink today. I can't do this again today.
And then
before you knew it, I was drinking again.
Just one, right?
No.
Know what I mean? That's what you think.
Yeah, you think just one.
I'll just get a smaller amount this afternoon.
Oh, no, I'd gone past that.
I know, same, but it's just like, yeah. It's just like all these rules you set up and then they're quickly eroded because you just don't have, well, I didn't have that control, you know.
Yeah.
I lost control.
Oh, I just had cravings for it. You know, as soon as I started feeling a little bit better by midday, I'd be like, right, here we go. Let's kick into that again. And it's so bizarre. You honestly think you're going nuts. It's a very, very strange thing. And I had already passed that time of saying to myself, how could I possibly live life without alcohol? This is my best friend. This has got me through everything. I could not vision living at all without alcohol. There was no way life was going to. I'd already had those debates, that struggle, and I'd lost because for me, yeah, I was drinking on a daily basis and quite heavily.
Over the very long span that I socialized and had great things happen and, you know, held down jobs, everything. You know, I used to, of course, be quite standard, like drink at the end of the day, and that was enjoyable. And of course, it was on the moderate to heavy side most days. And then I'd always think that it made me more creative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll get home from my other sort of what I'm doing during the day and I'll just have some wine and then I can, you know, really get into my interests. And it's just after, you know, it doesn't work, you know. It might have worked for, you know, in your 20s and 30s, but ramp it up, you know, a little bit later on and it's just not there. You know, it doesn't make you more creative. It slows you down, all those types of things. And, and then it just switched right over into another whole level. And they call that sort of that progressive sort of acceleration or exponential sort of changes that are quite frightening, right?
Very frightening. Mm. That's where the insanity.
It can happen in a month and all of a sudden, you know, you're really on the wrong side. Mm. Yeah.
It is quite frightening. Okay, folks. You are listening to the AA Live Show in association with our friends from Otago Access Radio on 105.4 FM. I'm going to put on some music. I love a bit of this. I hope you like it too. Let's hear some Elton John. Should be Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Quite slowly, a girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Cellophane flowers of yellow and green, towering over your head. Look for the girl with the sun in her eyes, and she's gone.
In the sky with diamonds. where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pie. Everyone smiles as you drift past the flowers, the grouse so incredibly high.
Oh, I do love a bit of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. That was fun. Thank you. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about Christmas tips. Things to do. We're getting into the season. It's coming up. I actually had an email or Teams or whatever you want to call it yesterday or the day before. Booking this date, our Christmas party for work. And I was cringe.
Do you have where you work, or is there quite a culture of that?
No. That's no, there isn't. Yeah. So I'm quite fortunate. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm lucky with that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, it would be a bit of a struggle, I'd imagine. And it was where I used to work in Auckland. In fact, that's probably what led me to a pretty significant relapse. I thought, I'm fine. And then all the Christmas, you know, all these bottles of things coming in and everyone's finishing work early. And sure, I'm drinking my lemonade or just water. I'm really going for it. And then, you know, something in my brain just clicks over, you know.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? You know,
that something in my brain. I love that. Addiction.
A lot of people I hear who come into the rooms who have had a relapse or a slip, whatever you want to call it, who have picked up again, that day they either didn't hand over their will and say, you know, guide me to not picking up a drink today, or all of a sudden they just found themselves with a drink in their hand. They were at a bar, they were at a work do, they were at something, and all of a sudden there it was. It just happened naturally.
Mm-hmm.
It's like smoking, right? You give that up, but I bet you always know how to hold a smoke. You'll always know how to roll a cigarette. You'll always know how to inhale it and do whatever. So, you know, riding a bike, you always know how to get back on that blooming thing and pedal. It might be a little rocky at the start, but, you know, you get yourself going. It's amazing how you can accidentally pick up a drink. So one of the things I want to say, just a little bit of tips about this, is remember to go to your meetings. And
if you can't get to them, you can go to online meetings if you're sort of stuck for transport or you can't make a meeting, don't live in a place where there's a regular meeting.
Well, that's the same thing. Like quite often you're out of town, you're going out of town for work, you've got to go out of town for your work do, whatever. Look, check out the aa.org.nz website because on there are lists of meetings in the whole areas of New Zealand, right? It'll tell you whether it's an online meeting. It'll tell you if it's an in-person. It'll let you know whether it's open or closed. In different centres, they have them in the morning, they have them in the afternoon, they have them in the evening. There is always a meeting that you can get to. So if you're thinking, this is one of my plans myself, if I'm going to somewhere that's going to have a lot of alcohol and I think to myself, oh, this could be a little bit dodgy, I'll go to a meeting first. I'll line up to either head to a meeting, ring my sponsor, I'll get together with another person in recovery and we'll just have a little bit of recovery chit-chat and it will give me the strength to be able to get through what I think could be an anxious and stressful time. So I can't reiterate enough, guys, jump on that aa.org.nz website and have a look. Have those weekly chats with your sponsor, other members in the fellowship. I mean, even when Sue and I catch up in these evenings for Do This React radio show, I always think, oh, there was a meeting.
Yeah.
And when we leave, I think, yeah, that feels good. Okay, I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it clicks in. And it's actually okay to tell people that you don't drink alcohol. I'm actually quite surprised how many people are abstaining from it these days. It seems to be that there's a lot of it out there. Maybe it's a price point, I don't know, but less people seem to be drinking. And I'm not sure what you've observed. So because you work in an environment where there are younger people, do you notice that there are, obviously there's the standard people that go out and partake, but do you notice at all that the younger society is starting to frown upon some of those behaviours themselves and choose different ways to do their celebrations? What do you think?
Yeah, there could be. Of course, you know, I work with a lot of students, and at the moment, you know, it's
adult students. That is
adult students. Yeah, and they're all on break, and so they've had a huge, pressure on them. So generally, yeah, I think there seems to be a level of professionalism, and because there's not, there was not a drinking culture directly where I work amongst the staff and the students. So, of course, they go out back to their apartment or their flat and they sort of can, might not turn up for the odd lecture, but it's not catastrophic like you do hear about more in the media, that type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I find I find personally the lines, I say to people, look, I still drink. I just don't drink alcohol, It's okay. I still like to have fun and party and have a good time. It's just not with alcohol. And one of those other ones that I like to say too is, hey, alcohol's good for you, but it's not good for me. It actually is not good for me. And that's a statement that people don't really know how to respond to. And they kind of just get it. So I don't know if that's one you could put in your box of tools, folks. But
yeah, I think it is quite different too. If people, like, if you're going to a place or say out for dinner, if they know that you don't drink, then it's not that pressure. You know, that they might be having a couple of wines, and that's great. I mean, I just can't. It's probably when you go into those situations, like a Christmas function, or
Even family.
And so you do, and I was just thinking, you got to have a strategy, especially whether you're new in sobriety or you're trying to cut down your alcohol intake, all those types of things. You got to, I tend to, like, what I want to do when I get there. How long, it starts at 8, so maybe I'll get there at 8:30 or something. And then I'll have a strategy that I'm going to leave at 10:30 or like 11. Especially when you're like a young adolescent, sort of in terms of sobriety, don't kid yourself and stay there till like 11, 12, 1 o'clock, because by then everyone, it's sort of
the effects are coming strong. In.
But also it could be a risk to your own person, yourself. It's really important. What about other things? What's really good is, like, make sure you've eaten before you go to these places.
Absolutely.
But you definitely have to have that mindfulness of, like, what I want to do there, how long I'm going to stay there for, and wonder who's going to be there. And sure, and then take your own non-alcoholic beverages if you know that, it's not going to be provided.
I know the warm weather is coming, isn't it? Oh my gosh, when we come back, we're going to have another song, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the old barbecue and what do you do at the barbecue when everybody wants to get on it. Anyway, this song, I'd like to dedicate this song to my son. He plays this all the time at home. It's one of his faves. It's a bit of Lady Gaga and Americano. I hope you enjoy it.
I met a girl in East LA, in floral shorts as sweet as May. She sang in eights and two barrio chords. We fell in love, but not in
I'm not afraid of the dark.
whoopsie. If that didn't get your feet tapping, nothing will. He puts that on really loud. It's great fun. Anyway, I was talking about barbecues just before we went over to that. And I recall barbecues being that sort of place where you took your own beverage, you took some food, you were in someone's home, it was a lot more relaxed, behaviour could get a little bit more haywire. It's just coming into that summer season where I think, oh, for myself, it created a lot more freedom with drinking. It meant you might turn up at the beach and you might have, you know, dinner down at the beach and have a few. And there's that side of summer that gives us a freedom. If you find yourself in that situation, I don't know what you're going to do, but for me personally, I tend to not get into those situations much anymore. I tend to keep a routine. It's kind of important for me. But
so what does that look like?
The routine?
Yeah.
Well, it means that I don't go and hang out at the beach too often and watch the sun go down. If I'm going to go and do that, it means I would have been home, had dinner first, and then headed down to the beach.
Right.
It would have, for me, after work, when I was drinking, it started straight after work and it would go till the small hours of the morning if I managed it. So it's a matter of now, yeah, I changed my lifestyle for the better. It sounds like I don't have any fun, but I so do. But, yeah, those things happen for me now where I'll make sure, I think you said earlier, make sure you eat before you go, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so you're consistent, your sugar levels are good.
Yeah.
All those types of things, you've got control.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
It's a big thing, yeah.
And we were just talking too, barbecuing and one of the things we were talking about was
pressures,
and one of them was, and it was quite a curveball, but it was quite a goodie, and it was about feeling pressured to be like a sober driver.
Oh my gosh, yes, isn't that because the terrible? Because you're not drinking now.
You can wait for another 2 hours while we keep going, and then you can drive us home. And sure, on the occasion, you know, that's great to be able to be generous and help people get home safely and that, but not at the risk of your own sobriety.
Absolutely.
Or to be exploited in those types of things. And it starts off as a genuine, like, hey, this is great. You know, we're only going to be 20 minutes. We're only going to be 40 minutes. Then can we go? And then, so if you, as a sort of, I guess my focus is on more people that have really in the early sobriety or trying to cut down those types of things, you really got to be quite firm, right, about sort of what, well, try to be firm about where your tolerance is, I think.
Absolutely, because you could find yourself in a position where you don't want to be. You know, you're dropping someone off, oh, come in with us, come on, just park the car, come on, and then all of a sudden you're being dragged because one of the things for myself is people pleasing hugely, and that's one of the things I've learned through my recovery is that I don't have to please everybody. Mm-hmm. If I need to keep myself safe, then that's actually my sobriety does come first, and saying a firm no and learning those boundaries of actually no, that doesn't work for me, thanks, but I'll pick you up in 2 hours if that works for me to be able to go and pick them up in 2 hours. So this is the thing, isn't it? The pressures can be huge at Christmas and parties at this time of year to get involved and be the sober driver. And yeah, it's a bit nuts really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I really liked your point before. It's not quite barbecue related, but
it doesn't have to be.
One of the really big things that comes up is financial pressures.
Yes.
Because whether or not, you're going on holiday or not, there's a lot of pressure to consume, you know, around this time in terms of presents, this and that, expectations. And that can be tough, really tough. And that can also be one of those triggers that sort of takes you into not great thinking.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've seen this week, had a few pressures this week, and I haven't picked up. I haven't even thought about picking up, but I do look at those pressures to what, how I would react now than how I used to react. And if you can get that strength behind you with meetings. I mean, honestly, I can't talk enough about meetings. I can't. Get to the meetings. Get to meetings. They give me strength. Do they give you strength?
Yeah, I was just, I sound like a goody two-shoes, but it was about 10 days ago. And I thought, you know what, I could actually ramp this up just a little bit more just for this week, because just for a few things, I just felt like the connection, I could actually do it. And it was good. And, yeah, it was just, yeah, it's not like it's something to do, but it was really good. And, yeah, can be quite stimulating, can be incredibly exhausting after a whole week of doing all of that, but it's fun in the end.
Isn't that a lovely thing to be able to recognise that you've got something you would like to have happen that's going to make you feel better and you can actually act on it? It's not alcohol.
Mm.
You've actually discovered. What a lovely part of your recovery. It's really nice to hear.
Yeah, and it's quite, you know, usually about like 2 o'clock in the afternoon or maybe 6 at night, you get a little flick, you get text like, do you want to be picked up? It's like, okay, that sounds good. Off we go. And it's just, yeah, it's sort of, and even the car journey.
Oh, to love the meetings, a car journey to meetings.
God, if the wolves could talk.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
It's so much fun. So that's all also, I guess we're sort of really going for it, aren't we? I'm pushing these meetings. But it is, yeah, it is a whole, that, you know, when you're driving 20 minutes or you're on your bike or with your with other people, this. Yeah, I don't think I've laughed so hard in my life sometimes, even getting to a meeting. So that's, there you go,
well,
everyone.
And that's that community, isn't it? And this is the thing, you can discover that there are parts to life that can be fun and fulfilling and just give you pure joy, and it's not got alcohol. I kind of think about how that first drink and how it made me feel, and how for, you know, over 30 years I chased that feeling. I chased it. I wanted to have that euphoric feeling again. I didn't find it. It never arrived. Yes, there were great times. There was lots of fun, but then we talked about it earlier, Sue said it earlier, folks, progressed. It progressed, and it progressed to something that wasn't fun anymore. And I got to say, the last 10 years of my drinking were not filled with the fun that the first blooming 15 were. Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, there was no way it was familiar. The insanity of alcoholism and the want to drink.
Mm.
Yeah, it's frightening.
Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to the AA Live show in association with our friends from Otago Access Radio. We're on 105.4 FM. We are also a podcast on their website, so don't hesitate to pop on that. That's ORFM, OAR, Otago Access Radio. Also, I'd just like to remind you that if you want to drink, go for it. If you don't, if you're thinking, I should stop, I need some help, get to a meeting, come and see us. It's the way to go. Jump onto aa.org.nz. Also, we have a phone line, which is pretty helpful, and that is 0800 AA Works, and you can get that with 0800 229 6757. So thank you for coming and spending the evening with me again. I really
always
do enjoy our catch-ups.
Now I'm just thinking about a good barbecue marinade.
Ah, there you
recipe.
Go.
Bit of garlic, bit of ginger.
Oh, no? see what we put. Wow, we're just so into we produce these things.
No, it's not all scary out there in barbecue land.
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
No, it's fun times. But it's also not all scary having recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could go on and on, but I won't. We're going to have a bit of more Elton John tonight. I hope you, our listeners out there, have enjoyed the show this evening. Thank you, Sue, for coming and sharing some of your good chatter with me tonight. It's been fun. Mati wā, everybody. Have a great week. Let's go with that.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.